Hello.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio.
Hold
Studio
on a minute, Morgan. We'll be right
Fridays
there.
At 2 p.m. Eastern.
On the air.
Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I have a very special guest today, Morgan Reynolds, former director of the Criminal Justice Center at the National Center for Policy Analysis in Dallas, Texas, a retired professor of economics at Texas A&M, who served as a chief economist for the United States Department of Labor in 2001-2002 during the George W. Bush first term, and a close colleague and associate of Judy Wood. We're going to be talking a bit about directed energy weapons, what happened in Maui, what happened on 9/11. But before we get there, Morgan, I'm very interested in your take about all the Trump indictments, what happened in Fulton County yesterday, the mugshots, a whole bit. You're a very savvy guy. What's your take on all of this?
Well, hey, good to be with you, Jim. As one of my in-laws said to me, hey, it's all a distraction. And there's a lot to distract Trump. I consider the Republican take pretty sound to say, hey, this is very weaponized prosecutions. These are forms of thought crimes. I would hope that he would, and by the way, I'm not a fan of Trump, except for the fact that he's got good enemies. So I like the enemies that attack Trump, but his policies I'm not fond of overall. At any rate, here we've got a situation where I hope his attorneys are better than some of these expensive lawyers have proven in the past for him. And that is, you need to go to the First Amendment. You know, the freedom of speech is supposed to be a fundamental right. You're supposed to have the right to petition the government for grievances. Yeah. Right there on those two counts, they don't have much as prosecutors. Now, of course, in the city of Atlanta and D.C. and New York City, you're not going to get very favorable juries. So we can't just say, well, even if he has the best defense in the world, that he won't be convicted.
Yes, yes, yes. And I agree with you about distraction. It seems every time we have a major bombshell about Biden corruption, whether it's Hunter, whether it's Devin Archer, Tony Babalinsky in the past, I mean, all this emerging evidence, and there's a mountain of it, that there's a Biden crime family. It even turns out that he was using an alias in some of his emails with Hunter, involved with his business activities. Every time we got one of these bombs, they drop another indictment on Trump. I mean, it's insulting, and the pattern is so obvious. Merrick Garland appears to be the conciliary to the Biden crime family, just as Tom Hagen was to the Corleone crime family.
Yes, I agree. And in some instances, I'm not sure about all four indictments, but the indictments came over one day after the bad news about the Bidens. And even the media has got the mainstream or lamestream or the prostitutes have got to acknowledge what's going on with the Hunter crime family, the Biden crime family. Yeah, it's just pathetic. Now, the only thing good I like about the Biden administration is this shows you the cultural, political, and economic decline that's ongoing. It's pretty clear that the empire is crumbling, and to have this guy that's lame physically and mentally, and so wrongheaded on policies and appointments in his administration is just the number one problem with the Biden administration, but also his predecessors, is wars for no gain or no fundamental purpose for the American people, much less the world. All these wars were avoidable.
Morgan, I think that's actually the reason that both sides of the aisle have targeted Trump. He doesn't go along with all these foreign entanglements. He's the only president of the last six or seven that didn't get us engaged in one war after another. He's been a non-interventionist, meaning he'd be okay going to war if the national interests of the United States were at stake, but not if it's some other irrelevant concern such as Ukraine. I'm convinced the only reason we're so eager to defend the borders of Ukraine when we're utterly unwilling to defend our own borders is because our Congress is Israeli-occupied territory, that the Israelis want Ukraine to become the new Israel, and they're not willing to settle for only part of Ukraine. They want it all, including the Crimea, the Donbass, Odessa, the whole shebang. Russia, of course, is not going to surrender any of that. So I think we got stuck between an immovable object and an irresistible force.
Yeah, we couldn't. And then the Zelensky, peace can't come soon enough. You know, these guys should be suing for peace. And Ukraine, David Stockman has had a series of articles about how Ukraine, if you go back centuries, it's not what it was. It's been part of Poland and Estonia, and it's so I can't reproduce it, but it's the current borders of Ukraine came down from Lenin and Stalin and Khrushchev, and it's such an artificial and non-United nation. So this whole business about Putin's, I keep on insisting he has been the only adult in the room. You look at these midgets, you know, Macron or Schultz or Biden and company, and the warmongers we have making policies, the so-called neocons, most of them of Jewish persuasion or origin. So, hey, that's a clue when you mentioned Israel there. But and then we've got all these big money people standing by to basically dismember and claim the natural resources and whatever productive capacity is left in Ukraine. So it's not going to be anything like the current nation state that it supposedly is.
Yeah, I think those are all excellent points. No, I extol Vladimir Putin as the only true statesman astride the world stage. I view him as a great Russian nationalist, just as I view Donald Trump as a great American nationalist. I'm clearly more enthusiastic about Trump than you may be. But I'm interested, did you watch his interview with Tucker or watch part of the GOP debate, which I would describe as Ramaswamy and the Seven Dwarfs?
The answer is no, but I did follow up a little bit. And I watched a particular YouTube that was plugged on or promoted by the LouRockwell.com site. And this guy points out that he thought that the dithering nature of these candidates was exposed when Bret Baier asked him, hey, you've all signed this pledge that you're going to support the nominee for president by the Republican Party, regardless of who it turns out to be. So how many of you are going to, if Donald Trump is in jail or prison at the time, how many of you are going to support him? And this Vivek Ramaswamy raised his hand right away, and everybody else kind of hesitated. And then there were some on what is stage right for us viewers. Four of them kind of put their hands up. And on the other side, there was whoever that candidate was on the far end, it might have been Burgum, North Dakota governor.
Yeah, it was Burgum. Yeah, Burgum and then Christie, yeah.
And he never raised his hand.
Right.
So the commentator was saying, this shows you what kind of, principles these people have. They're just, a wet finger in the wind, detecting the direction.
Yes, yes, yes. I thought they were pretty pathetic, except for Ramaswamy, who I thought was outstanding. There were a number who thought that DeSantis was good. Frankly, I did not think that DeSantis distinguished himself. And by the way, the interview with Tucker is simply sensational. And I don't know if you heard the numbers, but the best I've heard is as many as 210 million watched the Tucker interview. And of course, it began 5 minutes before the debate. It was a form of revenge against Fox, which has just fallen apart since it kicked Tucker off of its lineup, which was a calamitous mistake. 5 minutes before, to take the wind out of their sails. And of course, the actual viewing audience as a consequence for the Fox-hosted debate was rather modest by comparison. I don't know if they got 30 million, but it was nowhere comparable to what happened with Trump and Tucker.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, Tucker was the only newscaster, anchor, host that my wife and I, we watched him almost religiously, whenever we could, which was most of the time. And he got edgier and edgier, and guess why they canned him? He crossed a few lines. He even brought up a 9/11 at one point, being this. You really buy the official narrative, So yeah. he was headed in directions that are. It's like I can remember my editor at the NCPA, the National Center for Policy Analysis, would say that the media has well-plowed furrows. You don't go across the line on any of them. So, you better, as well, Tucker wasn't buying in. So out you go, despite the fact that the evening shows, by the way, is all the money to run the Fox News or any one of these cable news networks. So to lose somebody like that, even though, I know some major sponsors left his show in a huff. So what? You know, he was still a profit maker.
Oh, yeah, he had a huge following. He was drawing more, I think around 3 million average on his broadcast than the other alternatives combined by quite a large margin. And he was setting the stage for Hannity and Laura. Laura I like better than Hannity, but Hannity frequently had good guests, including like Jonathan Turley, who's been just sensational in debunking these indictments, where basically what's going on in Fulton County, Trump being indicted for contesting the outcome of the 2020 election. And by that standard, if that were a criminally punishable offense, Hillary would deserve life imprisonment. Even Stacey Abrams says she's the real governor of Georgia. I mean, Morgan, it is ridiculous.
Hey, let me follow up. I want to make one more point about Trump and foreign policy. And of course, sure. he's a protectionist. So as an economist, that's a good way to warfare, you know, where you won't allow goods and services to cross national borders. Guess what? You're going to end up with armies crossing them. And then, it's true he didn't start a war. Okay, that kudos to him. But he pulled out of a couple of these nuclear treaties, you know, the intermediate missile one being the biggest loss. And then he overturned what I would call Obama's only right-thinking policy, namely the Iranian deal that allowed for inspection if you're all worried about the Iranian regime getting nuclear weapons. So those were real problems that certainly didn't promote peace. We should have kept the nuclear treaties and the Iranian deal that Obama. But you know what? Hey, I'm going to undo what my predecessor did to the extent I can. It's just partisan politics.
Yeah. Well, Biden has been doing so much damage to the country. It's my conclusion that the real Joe died in 2017. Even a granddaughter confirmed and said the family liked being involved in politics so much they've had impersonators pretending to be him ever since. But this guy in office now is a different shape and size of skull. He's got different handwriting. He's got different social interaction. I actually dug up a video of Joe Biden, the real Joe, in 2007, and he was very articulate, very expressive, used his hands a lot when he talked, just as do I. Now, most of what he was saying was false, but I mean, his whole manner was utterly opposite of what we have now, this sort of mummified, incompetent boob who can't even find his way off of the podium. I mean, it's ridiculous. What's going on here? Have you had any occasion to notice that this doesn't seem to be the same guy, Morgan?
Well, it's true that it doesn't look like the same guy, but I haven't really gone there in terms of what you're talking about. It's just attributed to age. I'm 80 and he's 80. Well, I'm in a lot better shape than Joe Biden is.
So
I don't know. I'd have to follow up on that. You got to send that link or the video that, this leads me into this premise of doing an interview by this Miles Mathis is his name. We could get into that because he claimed that the famous physicist Stephen Hawking died in 1985 instead of, I guess it was what, around 2006, 2007. I didn't look that up. But that there was an impersonator for Stephen Hawking. You know, that would be pretty crazy. Tough to pull off. Well, Ardo, you've claimed that Paul McCartney might be an impersonator for some decades now, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
The present guy is 4 inches taller. He's got normal teeth, good teeth, and a normal palate. Paul was 4 inches shorter. He had bad teeth and a narrow palate. Paul appears to have died on 9/11/1966, Morgan, and then be replaced by someone I regard as an even better musician. But I got to tell you, of all the issues I talk about, the death and replacement of Paul McCartney gets an even more emotional response than when I discuss Sandy Hook as having been a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control.
Yeah. Well, that raises an interesting question. At Sandy Hook, you got some kind of a negative court ruling that you had to compensate some of the families who lost their children. Where does that sit now?
Well, I went all the way to the Supreme Court on that, Morgan, and it was declined my petition for a writ of certiorari. The whole case was a fabrication. I've laid it out many, many places. But I was sued purportedly over a death certificate that I had described as fraudulent and fake. And now I'm only describing the suit because I'm under court order that I may not repeat the sentences over which I was sued and found to be in defamation, where it had no file number, no town, no state certification. As I would point out during the hearings, not even parents in Connecticut are allowed to have uncertified death certificates. And in the complaint, the Posner team attached a different death certificate that had a file number, a town and state certification, and they claimed in the complaint that the two documents were not materially different. You can see that's legally absurd because material differences are one that make a difference to the legal issues involved, and obviously being certified versus uncertified is a material difference. Would you believe I answered because I had such a mountain of evidence that I thought it would be good to get it into the public record in the form of a judicial proceeding? I just, laid out in my answer a whole list of all these documents, including that we'd already discovered the FEMA manual for the drill, which I'd included in the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, published in 2015, where Amazon had banned the book less than a month later, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies. I brought together 13 experts, Morgan, including 6 PhDs. We established the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students or teachers there, and that it had been the FEMA drill, as I described, presented as mass murder. I have a mountain of evidence in addition. For over a year now, the last year, 2022, I was in contact with a couple of the participants in the drill, one who'd been cast as a little girl who died, the other as a teacher who died, who would then reprise a role at Uvalde. And I learned a whole lot more, including that it wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school that had actually closed in 2006. That Eric Holder came down to Newtown and offered the community $140 million if they participate in this exercise that was intended to illustrate to the American people what might happen if we didn't take guns away from law-abiding citizens. Those in the community who didn't want to participate moved out of Newtown. They had actual auditions for roles. They signed non-disclosure agreements. They got a lot of fringe benefits. You'll love this one, Morgan. Participants in the drill don't have to pay taxes. They also get free college. I'm telling you, this is how it all went down. And it's just outrageous. But they had to find a pretext to kill the book. Because when Amazon banned it, I recognized this was political and released it for free as a PDF. Now, I'm not allowed to send it out, but if you are diligent, if you do a search, you can find it available online and you can download it to your desktop for free. Apparently, after I released it, and they didn't see that coming, it's been downloaded millions of times so the American people can see what the hell happened. Morgan, would you believe, not only did they ban my book on Sandy Hook, but I continue to do collaborative research by bringing together groups of experts to sort out the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even the moon landing. They banned all those books as well. So I have 6 books that have been banned by Amazon.com. So I believe the moon landing was... Go ahead.
Yeah, you must be a record holder there, Jim.
I think the historic record. Crazy.
Yeah. It cramps the sales and your income, but on the other hand, it's a record of honor. Yep.
Well, I just featured Mike King here on Wednesday, and Mike has a new book about the Hola hoax, and he's had a whole lot of his books banned as well. So we share that distinction. Most of mine are still available at moonrockbooks.com, I'm glad to say. Amazon never did ban my books on 9/11 or on JFK. So those are still available. And of course, on my first book on 9/11, the 9/11 conspiracy, the scamming of America, you and Judy were both prominently featured from the conference on the science and politics of 9/11 I organized here in Madison in 2007, giving Judy an unprecedented 3 hours to speak. As you well know, Morgan, you and Judy were instrumental in convincing me as the chair of the Scholars for 9/11 Truth to take a serious look at the imagery of the planes in New York City. And I put you off for a year and a half, but once you got me to look at it, I realized this is absurd. There were no collision effects, violation of the laws of physics. That's one way we can tell that what we're witnessing or being presented cannot possibly be true, because the laws of physics cannot be violated and cannot be changed. So I'm eternally indebted to you and Judy for nudging me in that direction.
Yeah, it's amazing. I put up that article I originally drafted for a book of readings you asked me to do, and then you asked me to colorize it with some YouTubes and related, and I let it sit for a while. But I put it up this year at the urging of a young man who helps me on technical stuff as well as substantive things.
Morgan, hold that thought. Morgan, hold that thought. We'll pick it up when we come back from this break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal with my special guest, Morgan Reynolds. I pulled a book off the shelf, Morgan, The 9/11 Conspiracy, The Scamming of America. And there's the essay by Judy, A Refutation of the Official Collapse Theory. Then there's Morgan Reynolds and Rick Reiter, Some Holes in the Plane Stories. And you even had the epilogue, Conspiracy and Closed Minds on 9/11. Very nice work, my friend.
So I wanted to bring up this article I posted, and it has lots of pictures and YouTubes to support the words, the prose analysis. It's called The 9/11 Airplane Magic Show. And yes, this was put up March 10 this year. So here's the various things I want to point out, but it all collapses to just two things you can recognize. And that is, number one, these airplanes, the Boeing 767s, which is a twin aisle, large aircraft, very large airliner, not as big as the 747, but maybe second to that. And these planes are, big buses in the air. And there's no way they can fly that fast, 583 miles an hour near sea level. They would fall apart. They are not built to fly that fast. Furthermore, they don't have the horsepower. It would take, as one expert says, six times the thrust. Of course, they can do it at 30,000 feet plus when the air is much thinner. Okay, so number one is they can't fly that fast, as the government insists, and you can prove it yourself, by going frame by frame. And then the next thing is that the plane disappears at the same speed into the building. How? There was no collision. There was no, action, reaction. And we any fool can figure out that each tower weighed 500,000 tons of steel and concrete, basically. And so its mass is enormous, compared over 100 times what it would be with the airplane. And of course, then they run into like seven floors. The strength of, so the way I put it is, it would be equivalent to a basketball team, a game in which one team scores 100 points and the other team scores 2 points. In other words, the damage that the airplane can inflict on the building is trivial compared to what the building can inflict on the aircraft.
That's
and
right.
And it doesn't matter which one is flying 583 miles an hour. There's going to be a collision, right? And guess who's going to win that? The building.
I know, Morgan.
So it all reduces to only two things, amazingly. It's just in this article, I point out, I said, oh, okay, I'm going to limit this to 20 things that are wrong. So let me just pick up on a couple of these. Prior to the attack, number three, the alleged hijackers conveniently left an absurd clear trail of evidence. And then, you know, Mueller, the head of the FBI at the time, he even said, oh, we don't have any. We just feel we're caught off guard. Yeah, right. Let's see now. Seven or more of the designated hijackers were reported alive by media shortly after 9/11. Remember, Kevin Barrett went over to North Africa to try and see what was going on there, right? There was no wingtip vortices, you know, the circular wind that is off the wingtips. So it should have, we should have seen that with all the, you know, the instant smoke and all that from the building.
Yes.
No strobe, there were no strobe lights on any videos, you know, and I quote John Lear about that. There was no, and I pointed this out a few minutes ago, there's no significant deceleration of flight 175 alleged going into the South Tower where we have all these videos. There's no deceleration. So the plane is not, it's, you know, defying Newton's third law there. Well, all of them, really, right? Because there was a force applied. And the deceleration should have been immediate, instantly, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, there's no, so, and then we have the four cleanest alleged crash sites in aviation history. This is not an airliner crash. No, and it's none of them. Are all four sites don't give you the evidence of an airliner crash. So I've, on my site, nomoregames.net, I've repeatedly put up, here's another crash. We all know what it looks like, right? The planes fall apart. I've got one here. I show an American Airlines flight from into Little Rock. So I like that one. It's only an hour from my house. And that was June 9, 1999. And it just hit some of these light trestles. And the whole plane is in a shambles, you know, and half the people aboard were killed. And then just below that, I show a low speed one where, let's see, what kind of plane? That was an Airbus A340. It's completely totaled by running into a barrier while it's taxiing at an airport. This was in Toulouse, France. You know, it's just, these are a dime a dozen air disasters. So you don't see that, especially where we should see it at the World Trade Center. But we should have seen it since the official narrative says that's, these evil Arabs crashed a big airplane. Those were seven, let's see, five sevens. They were slightly smaller than a seven, six, seven. Into the Pentagon and out near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. It's just, I can't believe, you know, I went to these sites, Shanksville, Pennsylvania site. You know, it's now a memorial. It's a park now. And I asked one of the gals there, one of the officials, you know, handling this, the tourism. I said, right over there, near the woods, is that where the crash happened? And she seemed a little bit nervous about answering, you know, because this whole thing is preposterous. I didn't let her know that I know it's a fraud, but that's where it is. That's where it was. You know, there's no sign of anything there.
Colonel George Nelson, who was an Air Force crash investigation expert, told me in conversing about Shanksville, it looked to him as though someone had taken a bulldozer out there, dug a trench, filled it with trash, and blown it up. But you're absolutely right. All four of the crash sites are fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways. Indeed, turns out two of the planes weren't even in the air that day, Flight 11 North Tower and the 77 Pentagon. And the other two, pilots was able to track and found that Flight 93 from Shanksville was over Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, after it had officially crashed. And 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it officially hit the South Tower. Roy obtained FAA registration records, Morgan, and established that the aircraft that were used for those different flights, and remember, the same plane can be used today from Tampa to Chicago, tomorrow New York to San Francisco, were not even formally taken out of service until 28 September 2005. So how can planes that weren't even in the air crashed on 9/11, and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 been still in the air 4 years later? It's absurd.
Yeah, I added among the 20 counterfactual the evidence that falsifies the official narrative, the ACARS messaging system data showed that United Flight 175 was that allegedly went into the South Tower, and then Flight 93, which allegedly went down over Western Pennsylvania, both continued flying west, far beyond New York City and Somerset County, Pennsylvania, so after the crash times. And pilots for 9/11 Truth and the English researcher Mark Conlon established this beyond doubt. And then finally, a related thing is we have the emergency transmitter locator signals that are broadcast when an airliner crashes. That's to facilitate searches for the aircraft wreckage. These things went off at the wrong time for a couple of these alleged crashes. So it's just the whole thing falls apart. Yet our friend, I guess our new friend there, Miles Mathis, attacked you, me, and Dr. Judy Wood for being bad guys about 9/11, I guess we don't accept the official narrative. You know, it's just completely silly.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. He's also claimed that the JFK on 22 November 1963 was just a theatrical event, and you know, apparently Jack's alive and well, or was long, long after the assassination. Because he doesn't understand how the government, you know, fabricated autopsy photographs, altered the x-rays and all that. He never really pieced it together to understand what had actually happened. I find it quite revealing, however, because, as you well know, the objective of the disinformation program is not to convince anyone of one side or the other, but rather to create so much uncertainty that everything is believable and nothing is knowable. So we can't act on uncertainty. That appears to be the role of Miles Mathis. I think he satisfies the classic distribution for disinformation operations, 80% accurate, 20% the disinfo payload. And in this case, he's deployed it both against 9/11 and against JFK and against Maui, because he's suggesting they were real wildfires in Maui, and therefore these photographs showing all the powder white stuff, those are supposed to be fake, according to Miles Mathis. But since they're authentic, I mean, we have so many, and we have video and everything else, he ought to be inferring, since if it had been a wildfire, it would have been black, but it's obviously not black, therefore not a wildfire. Instead, he goes on to just presume it was wildfire. And since these photographs are inconsistent, they must be fake. That's his argumentative strategy, Morgan.
Yeah, it's been termed the muddle up, right? Yeah, it's effective propaganda has ordinarily elements of truth, but it also has deliberately falsified rubbish in it too.
What Miles writes in this piece entitled Due for Brains, that was just published on August 16th, what he writes here is, speaking of Judy, in my opinion, Wood is just a variation of Jim Fetzer, who started out with Steve Jones promoting the thermite theory, but soon switched to mini nukes, undermining Jones and splitting the whole project, which I assume was an assignment from the beginning. Let me just comment on that right off the bat. This is as absurd as it gets. It's true that I no longer believed in thermite by mid-2006 when Alex Jones invited me to give the keynote at his American Scholars Conference in Los Angeles in June, but where I was open to Judy's work on directed energy weapons, began interviewing her in November of 2006, and did 15 interviews with her, Morgan, I'm sure you recall, because I was pioneering interaction between radio and the internet. So we'd go to Judy's website, and then we'd have a conversation about the studies there over the radio. Very successful. But I didn't gravitate. I didn't gravitate toward mini nukes until around, 2009 or 2012. When I conducted the Vancouver hearings, you know, and I invited Judy to come and John actually initially agreed, but Judy was disinclined. She never responded to me, but she evidently directed John not to participate. I had a 5-star review of her book before I went to the Vancouver hearings, extolling the virtues of the photographs, the studies, and so forth, that perhaps our greatest resource about the events of 9/11. Ryan Lee took exception to her critique of nukes, observing that she, I thought, had debunked large nukes, but hadn't debunked mini nukes. I went to the Vancouver hearing, and when I returned, I discovered there were a couple of thousand of attacks on my review of Judy, even though it was 5 stars. For suggesting there was anything flawed about her debunking of the use of nukes. I had at the conference received so much more information about the use of nukes that I was quite convinced that was the right hypothesis. So I revised my review to 3 stars and spelled out about the U.S. Geological Survey discovering a host of elements in the dust samples from 35 locations in New York. Lanthium, lithium, barium, strontium, tritium, some of which only exist in radioactive form, that would not have been present had it not been a nuclear event. And would you believe the attacks continued? They got up to, I don't know, Morgan, there may have been 12,000 attacks on my 3-star review of Judy's book. I mean, it was outrageous. I think it was thereafter that Amazon changed its policy so you couldn't comment on another reviewer's review. They wouldn't let that happen. It was so bad I couldn't even open the page in the end. But I want to tell you and Judy, too, that I'm far more open after the Maui event to believing directed energy may very well have been used in 9/11 in addition to the mini nukes that I believe were used in the sub-basement to destroy the inner tube, the massive 47 core columns from the bottom up. I do think that there's a case to be made, and of course Judy has made it, and you stand with her, that directed energy weapons were involved. And I thought today would be a perfect occasion for us to expand on that. Here's what Miles also says. Both Wood and Fetzer, and by the way, the attempt by Jones and others at destroy scholars occurred in 2006, so it can't be that I switched to mini nukes soon. That didn't happen for years and years and years. In the meanwhile, I was featuring Judy and we were addressing her research, which is quite brilliant in my opinion. Both Wood and Fetzer were sent in to infiltrate and blow smoke all over this event. And they did that to the best of their abilities, which wasn't much. They even worked together. You can see why Fetzer was hired to push a nuclear theory now. Nukes were already being questioned by a few others before I came along, so they needed to be included in the 9/11 promo somehow. Some reason they're being promoted in the Ukrainian promo so heavily now, even by people like Alex Jones. That, too, is failing, so they need to roll in the do fear slowly, wrapping it up piecemeal, so as to not arouse too much suspicion. I mean, this is very bizarre, Morgan. Miles appears to be skeptical of the existence of nuclear weapons. I mean, he's not the only in the world to do so, but that is so far-fetched. It just kind of boggles the mind.
Okay, all this is a little off track, but I'll take it up anyway. He points out, well, I'm not a physical scientist. That's true. Yeah, I'm a PhD economist, and economists are maybe have made a lot of mistakes, but they're smart, and I am smart too. I got a PhD yes. from a reputable program, so. And I know how to do research, how to think, how to write, okay, and argue in favor of my conclusions.
Yeah, Morgan, so, Morgan, let me preface by reading a paragraph specifically you're addressing. Returning to Judy Wood, you have to remember she worked with, Reed was handled by Morgan Reynolds, one of the early infiltrators of the 9/11 truth movement from the Bush government. He was Bush's chief economist in the Department of Labor in 2001, 2002, a huge red flag. Like Fetzer, they were assigned the destruction of Stephen Jones, among other things, and they did some real damage there, manufacturing major division with the arrival of 9/11 architects and engineers a few years later, who pretty much set them packing. Well, again, historically, he's got his timeline all mucked up. Because by the end of 2006, scholars had already split, and they had created the 9/11 Scholars for Truth and Justice with Steve Jones and Kevin Ryan and a host of others who would sabotage scholars. So this guy doesn't even have his basic timeline right. Plus, of course, it's perfectly legitimate to debate the virtues of alternative theories such as nanothermite versus dudes versus nukes. Where I'm more inclined now to think it was a combination of dues and nukes, Morgan. Over to you.
Okay, I'm 100% with Judy Wood. It's directed energy and directed energy alone. Only directed energy can account for all the evidence, which she can tick off quite well. But nukes have enormous heat, first of all. And whether they're mini or large, they have enormous heat. It's not present there at the World Trade Center. Let's just stick to a World Trade Center, not try and sure. cover all four sites here. Secondly, there's radiation, and it gives off gamma rays, which actually Miles Mathis points out that it blinds you. I'm talking about permanent blindness. So in any case, the radiation count isn't there. Third point is that nukes are kinetic energy weapons. So they overlap with other kinetic energy weapons, right? It's motion destruction. And these are pretty confined quarters where the damage to surrounding properties are minimal to none. Depends on you know, there was some damage with like the Deutsche Bank comes to mind on the south side of the World Trade Center. Okay, these towers, enormous towers over a quarter mile tall each, were turned to dust. That's not what a nuke does, okay? It blows stuff up, and this it just turned things to dust. And you can watch the that's what a directed energy weapon can do, and in my judgment did. And then you know most of this the powder that was created was as small as DNA. It was as small as DNA. This is what a UC Davis-led team hired by the federal government found. It was the most amazing thing that they'd ever researched. Okay, and then the final point I'd make here is that the towers in an ordinary destruction, the remains in an organized collapse, you know, by dynamite or other conventional explosives should stack up to be about 12% of the original height, because obviously most of the towers or buildings are empty space. A majority is, surely. So that's one of the most, and of course the basement had almost zero damage. The basements, okay? So in other words, there was remains of the buildings were just incredibly tiny. People, I can remember group that was trapped on the fourth floor, and they were finally got in contact with the exterior. They're looking to be rescued. They're on the fourth floor. I forget which of the three staircases they were on, but they kept the person outside the building, that once building, I think it was the North Tower. All this stuff, I have to go confirm this. But one of the towers, I'm pretty sure it was the North Tower. Finally, they reached the person on the outside. And hey, we're on right here on the we need the rescue. And the guy said, "Where is the North Tower?" He said, "We're in the North Tower and on the fourth floor, right? You know, that's not a nuke. That's not a nuke. They shouldn't have been in there. They were, I believe, the 10, 12 people trapped there." Temporarily, but they were all rescued, and that's my recollection. But yeah, it was so weird, and that's the title of Judy's book, which is the scientific analysis of what happened at the World Trade Center. It's just got so much evidence gathered.
Stand by, we'll be right back with Morgan Reynolds.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Morgan, let me give just a kind of preliminary response to the arguments you've been making. I'd begin by observing that actually the conversion of material into very fine dust is a signature of the use of nuclear devices. I mentioned the U.S. Geological Survey results from dust studies at 35 locations in Lower Manhattan: barium, strontium, thorium, uranium, lithium, lanthanum, tritium, chromium, yttrium. Some of these only exist in radioactive form and would not have been present had this not been a nuclear device. Not only that, but we have the pattern of medical maladies. Here is a piece from the Daily Mail: the curse of ground zero. Number of cancer cases among 9/11 responders and survivors triples to more than 5,400 in less than 3 years. The total number of those affected now, I understand, to be in the 70,000. None of that, it seems to me, can be explained by directed energy weapon. Or here's a very specific example of why I think dues aren't sufficient. Though I'm acceding here, I'm actually saying I'm now very open to the idea that they were used on 9/11, but not alone in combination with mini nukes. There was the ejection of a 300-ton steel assembly upward at a 45-degree angle, 600 feet outward into the Winter Garden, which some have suggested the Winter Garden is where dews and nanothermite go to die. Now, I'm really interested in taking advantage of the opportunity to learn more from you about how dews could have done whatever they did. But I want you to know, I have rebuttals to a number of the points you've been making, where I again reiterate, I am, after the Maui event, more open-minded than I've been in the past, that dues may very well have been used in New York on 9/11. And I would like to think you and Judy would welcome that overture on my part. Your thoughts?
Well, yes, partial victory is better than defeat. But hey, let me go back to my article here and bring up two more issues.
Sure.
I'll quote from Dr. Judy Wood, Where Did the Towers Go? which was published in 2010. And this is from page 40. Quote, on the morning of 9/11, there were two towers, each over a quarter mile tall, made of 500,000 tons of material. And then they went away. They were gone in a mere 8 to 10 seconds, unquote. Isn't this amazing? This is absolutely stunning. There was no floor by floor collapse or this business about, kinetic energy bombs. I can't explain that, I would maintain. Then here's another issue that she brought up and carefully documented, and that is that we have the fact that the Earth is surrounded by a magnetic field that was disturbed on 9/11 at the moment that the destructive events in New York City took place. So we had anomalous changes in the Earth's magnetic field at the exact moments the key events were taking place in New York on 9/11. So the timing, magnitude, and relationships of these fluctuations are unusual. So this is circumstantial, but my, isn't this timing amazing? Downright uncanny, she writes on page 415. So she's got, maybe a dozen and a half of, we'll call it anomalous results. And for anybody who doubts the existence of these directed energy weapons, I point you to the Directed Energy Professional Society, which is populated and supported by, we have SAIC, Scientific Applications International Corp, which is the ninth largest Pentagon recipient of our tax money. We have Boeing, we have Raytheon, we have Lockheed Martin. We have Applied Research Associates, which was one SAIC and ARA were two of the 20 contractors that she and I both sued in our separate suits for scientific fraud. So I think we have to, now these, the perpetrators were very clever because very few people are aware of the directed energy weapons, but they're aware of it around the world. The Russians have it. They have, they call it energetics. So this business about turning these enormous buildings among the tallest in the world with such huge mass, look at the pictures I have on this article where you see what a sturdy structure these were, arguably the strongest skyscrapers ever. And they disappear in under 10 seconds. It's just staggering. So these people were really clever because it was any technology you don't understand is magic, right? You don't understand. This is completely novel for most people. So this helps them get away with it. And in this article, I also point out toward the beginning, about the people who write about this. I read antiwar.com every morning. Well, it's published 5 days a week. And there they have to mention 9/11 occasionally in connection with the war on terror and our wars of choice. And these writers are just maddening to me because they don't go there. You know, the farcical, what are you going to do? You're going to, here's Matthew Cannon, of course, who's retired as a regular columnist, and he says, quote, because Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden had been given sanctuary by the Taliban in Kabul, who refused to give them up, the USA government, invaded, overthrew the Islamist regime, and cleansed Tora Bora of Al-Qaeda, unquote. Well, there's a lot of problems with that sentence, but the Taliban said it would hand bin Laden over if the United States presented evidence of his involvement in 9/11. Bush refused. right? He wasn't going to give them any evidence about how the Taliban was involved because they didn't have any. And then, so this drives me nuts. Here's Jim Bovard, is another research writer I have a high regard for. He listened to him and his suspended disbelief about what really happened about 9/11. Quote, after Al-Qaeda hijacked four airplanes on September 11, 2001, wreaking death and destruction in New York and Washington, it was inevitable that the U.S. military would respond, unquote. Now, this, how can people this smart be swallowed up by this nonsense, huh? And even if you believe that Al-Qaeda did pull this off, that doesn't mean you're going to go and invade, start killing, mass murdering and destroying property overseas. No, you would have to pursue a criminal justice solution. That would be the answer. You'd be, hey, somebody committed a crime here. So, at any rate, we could go on, I guess, for another hour or two about the importance or non-importance of directed energy as the weapon that was used. Here's another objection you might consider, Jim, and that is you got to look at Occam's razor. Why have nukes? Directed energy can do such a neat job. It's almost surgical. Nukes are just going to... you've got to plant them in the damn building, and they would be easily detected, easily. So that, I don't see any sense to it.
Well, I've already given you at least three answers. We had a host of epidemiological medical maladies that were very similar to those at Chernobyl that would not have been induced by a directed energy weapon, but would have been induced by nukes. We had the results of the U.S. Geological Survey with that host of elements that would not have been present had it not been a nuclear event. We had the ejection of that 300-ton steel assembly 600 feet into the Winter Garden. That required a massive source of energy. It's inexplicable on the Dew hypothesis. But I'm open to the prospect of having used them both. They may have been testing it out. You know, what more can we do by combination? And they wanted to make sure the towers were destroyed, of course. But let me ask you this, Morgan. What has Judy and your take been about Maui and Lujania? I mean, do you agree there's a directed energy devices that brought these effects about? I'm convinced. But I'm also interested in questions about the source of energy for the directed energy weapons. What one objection that has been raised on this show has been, or another I do in the afternoon on RBN, how do we get that energy via the satellites? You know, that's an awful lot of energy required for this small object in space. So I'd really like to get, you know, your thoughts about these before we return to the Twin Towers.
Well, on that latter point, Judy Wood doesn't claim that it was from outer space or a satellite. So that's off the table. She doesn't give you the serial number of the machinery, as she puts it. Okay. Now, regarding your argument about the diseases and metals and so on and so forth, well, hey, there are toxic effects. There are toxic effects from this kind of destruction, and I'm no expert on it, but it reminds me of the debate over the COVID-19 vaccines, so-called, and viruses. You know, you might be aware that there's a serious debate about whether viruses exist because they've never been isolated into particles, you know, these pathogens. So I don't even believe that viruses exist. So the at least that's my position right now. Here again, I'm open to certainly persuasion based on evidence and logic. But and regarding the Maui fires that were so destructive, I haven't talked to Dr. Wood about this, but I suspect that she doesn't believe that there were was directed energy involved there. I, for one, accept the so far the conventional definition about we'll call it malbehavior by the electric company. They were warned, and the government in general. There was a group, a do-good nonprofit, that warned about this danger in two reports. One was, I think, 2017, and there was another one around 2020 or 21, warning against. And you know, electrical energy is dangerous when you've got a tinderbox. And so here again, I'm about out of opinion or analysis because I'm not really qualified to say much more. But I don't think Dr. Wood is claiming that directed energy was the cause of the fire, the huge destruction there. And then you had the winds were just enormous, right? At up to 90 miles an hour by this passing hurricane.
What about Paradise? What about Paradise, California? Morgan, does Judy have a view about what happened there?
Well, here again, I'd be guessing. You know, I don't talk to her regularly anymore. We exchange emails once in a while. I really can't. Here again, I'd be skeptical. I'd be surprised if she believed that was a directed energy. You know, she doesn't. Fortunately, as a very heady scientist, she's got to really study it carefully, write it up, and she doesn't shoot from the hip. Let's put it that way. She's got to have an airtight case before she's going to commit.
I think these are both blatant cases where the use of a directed energy weapon is obvious, my opinion, obvious. You got the homes completely destroyed, turned to ash. You got trees in the vicinity, brush unscathed. It was very controlled, very specific. They had a list of properties they were destroying. It appears they wanted to have the kids at home so they could be killed, because otherwise they'd be the heirs to the property. And this is a massive land grab in Paradise, California. They just happened to have destroyed land on property the UN wants to turn into some special purpose. You know, I'm really surprised and frankly disappointed, Morgan, because I think these are examples that reinforce the possibility that dues were used in New York. And you know, I agree with you about the professional, you know, directed energy professional society. When I was doing research on the plane crash that killed Paul Wellstone, I brought in a PhD in physics, specializing in electromagnetism. I flew him up from Australia. We were tramping around in the snow in 35 below weather, picking up pieces of the charred wreckage. And we sorted out that the plane had been drawn into an electromagnetic field that blew the computerized components on the plane, including the props, where one of the puzzling aspects of the crash was the props were below idle, but where they had coated the fuselage with, I don't know, magnesium or thermite or whatever, because it burned intensely for 7 hours. Water could not put it out. And they had to destroy all the computerized components or it would have been possible to see what had happened there. So I've been very open-minded. I have made the opposite argument, of course. With mini nukes, you don't need dues to explain it. But I'm telling you now, I'm much more open-minded to the combination. I had a conversation this morning, by the way, with a guy who's an expert in this area, and he was explaining how he believes Hurricane Aaron contributed to generating the energy that was in the atmosphere that was focused ISIS back by satellite-based weaponry in order to take that energy, which wasn't generated in the satellite but was in the atmosphere, in order to direct it at, you know, targets on Earth. At one point, I had the impression Judy might have even thought the directed energy weapon was in Building 7. Does she hold that view to your knowledge, or where would she locate the weapon?
Here again, she doesn't locate the weapon, nor does she know exactly how it looks or how it works in terms of any serious detail. So you're asking questions that I can't answer, and I doubt she's going to come on your show ever. So hey, I'm going to find out one time to follow up. Hey,
well,
I'm pleased to have you here,
Borgen. I was delighted that you accepted my invitation, but it was really precipitated by the apparent use of dues in Maui. And I've been corrected on the pronunciation. That's Lahaina, Lahaina, the city that was demolished in Maui, I would submit by directed energy weapons. And the prior use in Paradise, California, which is strikingly similar in the effects. So I thought that was really a perfect overture to go back and reconsider the possible use of dues in New York City on 9/11. But I recognize what you're saying. You cannot speak for Judy, and I agree. She's unlikely to accept an invitation from me, just as she declined the invitation to speak at the Vancouver hearings back in 2012. So I take your word on all of that. I know there's more you want to add, Morgan. Go right ahead.
Well, to return back to Miles Mathis, which stimulated this invitation for me to appear on your show. In looking at his work, I happened to see another critic. I'll call him dissident physicist. Mathis is prolific. He's got over 600 articles about physics, and he believes, actually, as I do, in a very general sense, that physics has gone off the track and become very dogmatic, and it's made little or none in the way of progress intellectually or understanding, and they seem to be inventing a lot of ad hoc band-aids. So, for example, from my point of view, this business about anybody who mentions a parallel universe is talking nonsense, because the universe, by definition, means everything. And that means that there can't be parallel universes or multiple universes. And then the whole business about the Big Bang Theory, where you get something from nothing. Now, this is just philosophically unsound. The universe, in whatever form it took, at any point in time, it has always existed. The universe is eternal, and it something will always exist. So, and then there's the idea, you may know more about this than I do, but just because I'm a suspicious scientist here, space-time is an expression you hear. And what is that? You're conflating two variables that are quite different conceptually. Space-time, that may have served some function in physics. I don't understand. But hey, Miles Mathis is a dissident physicist. And I came across another YouTuber who calls himself Draft Science. And he did a show, it's a pretty recent vintage, I believe, which is all anti-Miles Mathis. And this guy, who's anonymous because he adopts this name, Graph Science, thinks that Mathis is a tinfoil hat guy, even though they both believe in an alternate model or modeling of physics that So they're both anti-conventional model, they call it. And that may have some value. However, then another thing I came across then was that Mathis proposes that the value of pi, right, the circumference divided by the diameter of a circle,
yes,
which is 3.14, followed by a whole bunch of digits and a number.
Well, it's a non-terminating decimal expansion. It has an infinite.
And it's non-repetitive, that it doesn't, go 666 or anything. But, okay, so Draft Science says this is stupid to say that pi equals 4, but it gets into some kind of, unintelligible business about how you measure the circumference of a circle, and it's doesn't this go back to Archimedes or... the ancient Greeks had came up with the 3.14 and on. So this guy, Draft Science, thinks that Miles Mathis, Draft Science was rebuffed when he approached Miles Mathis, who is a real guy, and wanted to work on some things together. You know, they both are cut from the same cloth as dissidents on physics. They think physics off the track. And Mathis was pretty mean to him, I guess. So Draft Science is saying, come on, Mathis is impossible. You can't work with him. He's a tinfoil hat guy. And then he said he's an anti-Semite. He hates Jews as a group. I never saw that. I scrolled through Miles Mathis's pieces in physics, and he has over 600, and he claims that it's roughly 700 pages. So
we're going to take your calls right after this break. Calls for Morgan Reynolds and me, any of the above, will be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm certainly not surprised that our first caller is Paul from California. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, really interesting show. I did not catch much of the first hour, but I definitely caught the full half hour of this hour. And nice, worth listening to on a fairly regular basis, Jim, some of these shows you put on with these guests. I will tell you that as a compliment. A little bit of a wide-ranging discussion. I find myself mostly agreeing with your guest, and I especially like the fact that he's familiar with Mathis. I have not taken a look at his science site much. I have read a few articles, and I can't claim to have understood everything. A few things I did understand, a few things I didn't. But he's obviously a prolific writer, as well as, in my opinion, an intellect. But one of the things that I think I will agree with, and I've heard this from other people as well, including my friend, who has informed me that a lot of stuff that's published in science journals is just complete BS. You know, this whole idea of peer-reviewed, in most cases, they're not reviewing it. They're just maybe reading it, but they're not, in many cases, duplicating the research. And same thing with the medical field. There's a great guest on RBN, I think it was last Saturday or the Saturday before that, called John Lukash. In fact, Jim, I should give you his website in a couple pages, because he's actually helping people reverse their vaccine injuries and so forth. But he took a deep dive starting back in 2020 into all this virus stuff and mRNA and what he said he found. And this is a very, very smart guy. All you got to do is talk to him on the phone and you realize, you know, it's not even his profession. He's actually, by trade, he's a landscape contractor, and he's been in sales before. Interestingly enough, parallel to my background, by the way. But he told me in a phone conversation that it's his firm belief that most medical research is total bullshit. And by the way, Eustace Mullins said as much in his book, right, Murder by Injection, where he said that most medical research is spurious. And I'll leave that for reaction right now. I got some more to say about the direct energy and the nukes, but go ahead if you want to react.
Oh, I expect you have a lot more to say. Sure. Morgan, did you want to respond to Paul?
Well, I agree with Paul, the direction he was going, that the vaccines in the COVID-19 case are clearly done enormous damage. It's just so well established. And then a great source for raising the doubts, or if you will, proving that the viruses are just nonsense. It's a ghost pathogen. They've never, going back to 1954, when this guy, I get, his name was John Enders, so supposedly established, isolated a virus. They've never isolated a virus in terms of the ordinary meaning of the virus. You know, what's the dimension of the virus? They don't even have that. So I agree that, and then when you talk about the corruption of the medical research journals, yes, you know, the damage that's been done to the medical profession from this whole scandemic is enormous. The next time they pull this thing, I don't think it's going to go very far. Too many people have had friends and relatives damaged. They've had the vaccines have been, you talk about oversold. And the whole thing is in my opinion, a criminal enterprise. It's more like a bioweapon. And there seems to be an article out there where basically it was a one-third mix where the most toxic of these vaccines, I don't know if it's Moderna here we're talking about, but had some was basically a saline solution. Some was moderately damaging and may not, if you're healthy enough and young enough, it was like, and then some of it was really loaded up. So at any rate, there's more to learn about this, but I want to see some people hang.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, me too. It was just a big experiment and they're just devious ghouls. And Jim, you and I should do a show. I should send you some work. This is both for you and your guest, but there's a guy by the name of Dr. Fred Klenner, K-L-E-N-N-E-R. And everybody should have heard of him. Most of the medical profession should have heard of him, but they haven't. And he was curing everything that came his way back in the 50s and the 60s with high-dose vitamin C and high-dose other vitamins intravenously, right? And Linus Pauling, actually, he preceded Linus Pauling in his work, and Linus Pauling, of course, is famous for doing a lot of work on vitamin C. And there is zero reason why vitamin C should be the only, shall we say, treatment for sepsis and other such things. But, of course, it's not. They use antibiotics, which are far more expensive, and they have far more complications. Vitamin C is very, very cheap. It has no complications. And it essentially works every time. And all these various doctors, you can see them online, read about them, and they talk about how, you know, what they've done. And they all talk about, well, you know, there needs to be a large study or larger studies. Well, you don't really need large studies or a larger study when it works every single time that these people are using it. And nobody's going to fund a study such as this because, of course, vitamin C is extremely cheap and it works. So therefore, you know, they're not interested. I mean, it's just really a crime that they're not using it for so many different things. And guess what? I don't want to make this a show about it, but I'll quickly mention, I just recently learned the reason why it's all in the chemistry and what's called electron transfer. That's why it's so utilitarian, because it has free electrons to donate, plenty of them, and it increases electron transfer, which is what makes the body work. So when the body works, it heals itself. Okay? So there's nothing magic about this. And this sort of thing has been known for 70 or 80 years. So, yeah, the medical system as a whole is a criminal enterprise, just like so many other systems.
Very, very disturbing stuff. Yes, yes, yes. Did you want to raise a question about directed energy weapons, Paul, before I ask Brian to join? And you can stick around and I can come back to you.
Sure, I'll just make a mention of the fact, I think this is all for our discovery. It's a work in progress. I think there's very few people. It's a very, very select group that know what they have, right? We don't know what they have. We're guessing, right? Could be a laser, a maser, particle beam, you know, all sorts of stuff going on here, and we just do not know. We know what's in the literature, what we can see, you know, on Lockheed Martin sites and all that stuff, but who knows what they have on top of that now. It's really quite a frightening time, and we're left figuring it out.
Very good. Morgan, did you want to...
Hey, I'd love to hear your message, so please leave it.
At the tone, please record your message. When
Brian,
you
Brian, the- why don't you join the conversation, Brian?
Can you hear me? I hear, you know, yeah, leave a message
you.
Something.
We got you. We got
okay.
you.
To me, the most the biggest smoking gun as far as energy weapons is when they had the California wildfires. There was an aerial view overlooking all the devastation, and there was one house, I'll never forget it. And it was right after all this happened where they hadn't been able to, you know, censor things out. And half the house was intact, okay? It seems like it had a red tile roof. And there was a perfect line down the middle of this house, like someone took a meat cleaver and just cut it in two. The other half of the house was not there. It was just totally destroyed, yeah. Okay? Now,
Brian,
I said to myself...
Was it on a video? Or a picture.
It was an aerial view of it, and it was something.
I've seen the photograph, Paul. He's describing it accurately. Go ahead.
And it was right after all this happened, so they weren't ready. You know, they hadn't done all their work to get rid of things that were just too obvious. But when I saw that, I said, well, that's not natural. You never saw that one? Well, then on Maui, uh-huh. You know, I was looking the other day, and they had this view of the oceanfront property, and here's all these perfect houses, and then all of a sudden, just like that, here's all these oceanfront houses that are gone. They're just obliterated, and then there's one house with a red tile roof, and I read that the owner of that house was some high-up bureaucrat in the U.S. government. Her house is perfect, and then on the other side of her house, it's just total obliteration. So you're going, well, that obviously tells you something's wrong, and then the fact that all these people were in their cars with their doors closed trying to get out, and of course everything was blocked. And everyone in their cars for however many miles are incinerated in their cars. They weren't smart enough to see, you know, there's a fire here. We need to open the doors, get out of our car, and run. The only way you could have that is if they were just suddenly impacted by some energy weapon. Because in a normal fire, you're going to say, oh, look at that. You know, tree, which of course the trees weren't burning behind me. Look at all this fire coming towards me. I think I will open my doors and proceed in the direction opposite the fires. But no, all the cars had everybody incinerated in the cars. So anyway.
Hang on, Brian. You might find this interesting. In fact, the whole panel might, if you haven't seen this most recent paper on Maui. But yeah, Mathis has shown. So I'm not invalidating what occurred there, or that the directed energy weapons don't exist, or that they weren't used there. However, they've been playing around with the images and trying to trick us and scare us. So there's a lot of vehicles that were placed in photos. They definitely don't belong there. He showed that there's duplications, like such as CGI. Also, people have found, not just Mathis, but other people found cars without engines. So how could a directed energy weapon melt an engine but not the car? Makes no sense. So basically, they're trying to, for whatever reason, they're trying to make it look worse than it is, if that makes any sense, because a lot of these cars were clearly junk cars. They were basically older, you know, what you call low value or economy cars. And probably what they did is they took pictures of old burnout cars and put them in the photos. You can read his paper and you can see the work yourself. It's indisputable that they're playing around with photographic manipulation, and maybe they do this just
well,
like they do on everything to put stuff in the punch bowl.
Yeah, what got me on this one about the cars was it was some guy on TikTok who was a resident of Maui in that area. And so it was right after it happened, and he was,
right,
you know, he was really upset, and he's the one that was pointing that out. So, you know, if it was just normal, but TikTok, you're usually getting people that are right there, and there were other people on TikTok talking about,
People take the TikTok videos and they embed them in another video, which is, I've seen that. But I'm asking you, did you see skeletons or bodies inside these cars in these photos, Brian?
Nope, I didn't. I just listened to the guy.
All right. I said. So we have to be wary, because if, Jim, you know this, you've covered so many fake events. If they can hire the number of actors that they do for some of these events, like in Sandy Hook and other places, they can certainly hire crisis actors to whatever, throw you off, make it look worse than it is, or do whatever it is. So, because again, I urge you to read Miles Mathis' paper on Maui, which you find. Just go to updates and you'll see it. And I think it's like 19 or 20 pages, but from page 13 or 14 on, he gets into the photographic analysis. And clearly they're playing around with the images, right? I mean, they're once photos like in black and white. Now, why would they do black and white? He makes the point. Do you not think that they took this in color? You know, why would they take it in black and white, but yet you were presented with a black and white image, and maybe it's perhaps to make the devastation look worse? Yes, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on. If there wasn't an ocean between me, I want to go there and see it myself.
One thing of interest on Ben Fulford's weekly update, he had an advertisement coming out of China for a directed energy weapon you could buy to trim your trees, okay? And they have the advertisement for it. You go look at it, it'll just blow your mind, because here's a guy holding this thing, and then there's trees there, and he directs it, and then the winds start falling down. It made my jaw drop. So you can order one online if you get on that little thing on Ben Fulford for the week. It's towards the end of everything.
Morgan, I'm glad we got you back. Would you like to comment on anything that you've heard from Brian or Paul?
Yeah, I just got back here with 3 minutes plus. But, I like the story about the trim your trees with a do. You'd have the serial number and the machinery. You could take it apart and see how it works.
We do have another caller standing by, Michael from North Carolina. Michael, join the conversation.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
I got two things. I wanted to congratulate Morgan. I just about jumped up and down when I heard him state straight up that there is no basis for there being contagious disease-causing viruses. I knew nothing about virology when the COVID pandemic came around, but for some reason, that's where my motivation led me. And I've done a credible deep dive on virology at that time. And I consider it a big silver lining in the wake of this depopulation program that we call the COVID pandemic, the fact that it's served to expose fraudulent nature of the entire field of medical science called virology. And I'll leave that one right there. The other thing, just one more comment about virology, and that is, I think it's very important that awareness of the fraud of virology becomes more known by everybody in the world, really, because if it isn't well known, like one of their primary methodologies for instilling fear in us. And they do it over and over again, manipulating us with the fear of some phantom virus. Okay, I'll leave that one there.
Right.
The other point is this is related to directed energy weapons. I just went up on Jim Fetzer BitChute site, this photographic tour by a forensic arborist, a master arborist named Richard Brame. It's a interview by Peggy Hall of the Healthy American, and it is mind-blowing. He takes you through 38 different fire sites in the Western United States and Canada and shows you, like, close up how these things could only have been done with certain types of directed energy weapons like microwave. So I heartily recommend that. That's
Michael, when did you see this?
You just
did
put
I
it up?
See that video? I just put it up about an hour ago. Oh.
So you just recently watched it?
Yes. Last night.
Yeah, both so I saw it quite a while ago. Yeah, both Sophia and I have talked to him on the phone. He actually lives here in California. Yeah, very interesting guy, and just he's to be admired because on his own dime, his own time, his own ambition, he went, just took a trip to visit all these places and did all this work all on his own. It's really quite impressive. He's an avid hiker and backpacker, as he makes clear in that presentation. But, yeah, when you see what's going on, it's like, oh, my God. Yeah, they are just they have toys that they're playing with.
That interview was from June, and it's so fabulous. Why didn't you send it to me, Paul?
I thought I did. Forgive me. I swear I sent it to him.
No.
Maybe I didn't.
I'm just messing with you. Anyway, thanks, Morgan, for bringing up the fact that there is no scientific basis for virology.
Indeed. And so many other things, by the way.
Morgan, would you like to respond? I'm not sure we still have Morgan. Brian, you want to say a few words further?
Well, I could sure tell you about my Christian Zionist brother and 9/11. My Christian Zionist brother, who was a pilot, he just retired for a major airline, was called 2 weeks before 9/11 by his Israeli pilot buddies that he trained to be pilots when he was in the Air Force. And they said, whatever you do in 2 weeks, do not go to New York City. Stay away from that place. And so he would never tell me that. He told his wife. So when I went to visit, I brought all this stuff up. And he was adamant that, you know, 9/11 was the Arab hijackers, whatever. And we got into a big row over it. And so before I left, his wife took me aside and told me about the Israeli pilots that told him, you know, to stay out of New York. So I can't believe what a blockhead. Well, then the last time I was there, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, I started pointing out all these abnormalities when it came to Adolf Hitler. I said, we're being lied to.
Right.
And I'd driven 2 days to get there, brought in his favorite from Nebraska runses and all kinds of stuff, you know, for Thanksgiving. And it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I was there an hour. And he says,
right,
I can't have anyone in my house that defends Adolf Hitler. You're going to have to leave. And so his wife was there because she would have raised hell. I had to turn around and drive home.
Brian, thanks. Thanks for all that. Morgan, I want to raise a question that has bothered me about architects and engineers, but also about Judy, namely a reticence or reluctance to discuss who was responsible and why. What is your take and what is Judy's take and why has she been hesitant to address this question?
Hey, you were cutting out. I don't know. My phone might be the
Morgan, yeah, Morgan, I know we're having a problem with connection. I'm asking, wouldn't it be a good idea for Judy to discuss who was responsible for 9/11 and why 9/11 was carried out? I mean, obviously, if she's right about the method, that implies only a tiny number of sources that could have been responsible, because there are very few agencies or entities that have access to directed energy weapons.
So, Jim, if Morgan's not there, I'll just take a quick stab at this, right? And this goes back to what I would call every man's life experience with women, right? So we have two possibilities. Now, as you know, Judy Woods is Jewish. And there's zero doubt about this. Just look at her face and her nose, okay? So we don't know how Jewish she is, but she is Jewish. So that's one. Number two, women in general are not really, they're not keen on this sort of, shall we say, knowledge or discussion. And we've run into this before with female guests on your show. I could name names. One of them is Lori, but it's like right there for you to see, but they don't like going there. They don't want to see. And generally the way their minds work, they just don't like categorizing, you know, grouping people, prejudice, racism, all that sort of thing. So they're generally not capable, and they're not interested in doing that. That's my quick
take. Well, it seems to me you cannot be responsible in research about 9/11 without talking about the historical context, who is responsible and why, because otherwise, and Judy's insisted, I mean, I've heard her say it a dozen times, we can't begin to address who and why if we don't know how, but we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can certainly be exploring who is responsible and why, which in my opinion is even more obvious than exactly how it was done. So, you know, I have faulted her for that, and architects and engineers, and I'm glad to have Morgan on to represent Judy, just as I had Richard Gage on to represent, you know, their point of view. But I have called them out on this ground, and I think it's even more telling than that they have what has been, in my opinion, an inadequate account of how it was done. I mean, those are the three big questions. Who is responsible? Why was it done? And how was it done? Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I that was not me hesitating, but I would just add, I've mentioned this book on air before. I'll mention two. One is called Walls in Our Mind by Rick Beckman. And the other is called Fear the Jew Syndrome by Ray Jurjevic. Okay. And so basically people have, it's been put into in our culture. Okay. This thing about talking about the Jews or naming the Jews as some sort of a culprit, the whole persecution complex. And that's a big part of it. People, it's a journey that you have to go on, mostly individually. And sometimes people that have not gone on that journey, they're reluctant to get into the topic.
Well, Paul, look, I want to thank for calling in. I thought you were very good, Brian, too. And, of course, I thought it was wonderful to have Morgan here. We're going to be following up and doing more on directed energy weapons next week. Stand by. Thanks for being here, and have a great weekend.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh,
a dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their